This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. The North Carolina Innocence Inquiry Commission receives about 230 cases each year. In 2009, one of those cases stuck out, and the commission's investigation would lead to the release of convicted murderers Leon Brown and Henry McCollum earlier this month. McCollum had up until that point been the longest-serving person on death row in the state, at just over 30 years. I'm joined now by Kendra Montgomery Blinn, the Executive Director of the North Carolina Innocence Inquiry Commission, and Sharon Stellato, the Associate Director and Chief Investigator of the Commission. Sharon, you worked very closely on the Henry McCollum and Leon Brown case. Can you give us a quick synopsis of what they were charged with?
Sure. In 1984, Henry McCollum and Leon Brown were charged with the rape and murder of Sabrina Bowie. The evidence that was presented in that case is that they took Sabrina Bowie into a field, a soybean field, along with three other boys, and both of them signed written confessions to that fact, and that they took her into a soybean field, that they raped and murdered her. The state presented evidence at trial that the victim was with the boys, that she drank beer with them, and that the killer left a cigarette butt at the crime scene. Both McCollum and Brown were charged and convicted. The three other boys named in the confessions were never charged or convicted.
Kendra, Sharon was the only witness called to testify at the McCollum trial to review these new findings. Is there an understanding that the commission, the level of the commission, the fact it is nonpartisan, that because of that, the findings of the commission are to be rather undisputed, that this is the truth, this is the fact?
Well, the commission is a neutral fact-finding agency, like you just said, so we're not looking for the evidence to say one particular thing. We're not trying to shape the evidence. We're not an advocate either for the state or the defense. So you're right. What happens is we're often called by both parties at a hearing, and they just want to make sure that they get all of the information out.
Sharon, what was the one piece of evidence that you think really sealed the deal on the innocence of Henry McCollum and Leon Brown?
Well, the defense presented the evidence of the cigarette butt coming back to a man named Roscoe Artis. We did two different types of testing, YSTR and STR testing, and it originally came back as a CODIS hit to a man named Roscoe Artis.
This is all DNA testing.
Yes, this is all DNA testing, who is currently serving prison time for another rape and murder that happened just a little over 3 weeks in the same town. And then the commission conducted several interviews of Mr. Artis and uncovered additional information related to his crimes against women.
So the work of this commission, certainly when we're talking about two men who, one being the longest serving death row inmate in the state of North Carolina, seems absolutely critical and important. Kendra, but this is a state agency. This is funded by the state, and the General Assembly says yes or no, this commission will stay. How secure is that funding and this commission? Could it just be taken away? And is that something you worry about? Because as you say, some of these cases takes years and years and years.
Well, I always worry because I work for a state agency and we know that budget cuts can happen and things are tight. But when the commission was created by the General Assembly in 2006, we began operation in 2007, and they had a sunset clause on the commission. It was viewed as an experiment and something that, if it didn't work, would just go away on its own. So in 2010, the commission was set to essentially expire. But in 2010, the General Assembly decided that the commission was working, and they made it a permanent state agency. So just like any other agency, we have state funding. We also have federal grant funding from the National Institute of Justice.
So, Kendra, North Carolina is the only state that has an Innocence Inquiry Commission, anything like this. What do people do in other states if there isn't some agency that has designated funding to look into things like this?
Well, you're right. North Carolina is the only state still with an Innocence Inquiry Commission that investigates cases, and I hope that changes. I hope that one of the outcomes of this case is that other states see the importance of creating a commission like this.
Sharon, you mentioned that what was key in this case, the McCollum and Brown case, was new DNA evidence. And that DNA testing wasn't something that was available in the 80s. But now DNA testing is being used. There's a flood of DNA testing, and it's changing everything. How do you think that's going to change the work that the commission does, that you do as an investigator?
Well, I think that's exactly right, and that's exactly what we do all the time. The cigarette, of course, was vital to the case, but the other thing that came out is, as Kendra mentioned, we did almost $100,000 in DNA testing that was very important in that it didn't come back matching McCollum and Brown. Sometimes the lack of DNA is as important as, you know, DNA matching someone else. And the amount of money that it costs to do new DNA testing, $100,000, that's not something that most trial attorneys can do. So when you're talking about new evidence in old cases and going back to them and trying to test, a lot of defense attorneys or prosecutors aren't having that kind of money. So that's what the cases that we're looking at are coming to us. And that's a lot of what we're seeing now.
And Kendra, do you think that this will change the work of the commission that necessarily because of the inclusion of DNA evidence in so many trials lately, that the commission's either going to have to find bigger grants to be able to afford to do all this DNA testing, or do you have to? Do you have to stay up with the times? And this is one of the ways.
See, I think there's two parts to that answer. The first one is that one of the things, many of our cases have involved DNA or forensic testing, but this one's obviously gotten a lot of attention. But in this case as well, there was missing physical evidence that was able to be located through commission efforts. And I think what the legal community is understanding is that the commission is not only able to do very cutting-edge DNA testing, but we're also able to locate evidence. In 17 cases, we've located evidence that was believed to be missing or destroyed. So that is something that I think people are realizing the commission is talented or skilled or has the ability to do. And then, of course, funding.
So you were talking about all of this advanced DNA testing, but some of this work, Sharon, as an investigator, is literally going out and looking for things, looking for the missing file, the missing, I mean, you're a detective.
Absolutely. And as Kendra said, 17 cases are cases, including this one, where the files and or the physical evidence was thought to be missing. And other agencies, defense attorneys, even prosecutors had looked for the evidence. And there have been cases that we've worked on where they've sworn in court under affidavits that the evidence was missing and the commission has been able to go in and search and locate missing physical evidence.
What does that mean? Can you give an example?
Well, in this case, for example, the police department, they were under a court order to provide any evidence that they had in the case, and they had stated that they had no physical evidence.
What can you give any more details? I mean, what did you find and where did you find it?
It was in their evidence room. It contained evidence from the original crime scene, you know, the beer cans, the victim's fingernail scrapings, body sheets, all of the much of the physical evidence that was collected from the crime scene. And what the commission has found in several of our cases is that that's not unusual. There's a high turnover rate at police departments and clerk's offices and DA's offices, other agencies. And back in the 1980s, when they were doing these cases, they didn't foresee that 30 years later, we were going to come knocking on someone's door looking for DNA evidence. So a lot of times, maybe a detective was collecting something, putting it somewhere, it got stored, was mislabeled, or just put somewhere, and then I come requesting something and they don't go look. We've had really, really good results in locating evidence that's been missing, because what we've learned to look for is if there's a break in the chain of custody and there's no record of destruction, it may be there.
So the initial response is we don't have it.
Yes.
So the commission, what's so unique about the commission is that not only are we this neutral fact-finding agency, but we have a lot of authority. We're a government agency and we're given the authority of the government. That means that we can compel witnesses to testify. We can subpoena evidence. We can take custody of evidence and submit it to a lab for DNA testing. And it also means that we can request to enter upon lands and search for evidence if we aren't able to locate it or an agency isn't able to provide information showing that it indeed has been destroyed or where it is.
So would one make the argument that the commission, a commission that has authority, governmental authority, has more power than, let's say, a nonprofit innocence commission?
Absolutely. So I think that's what makes this commission so unique and what I hope other states will see. And we do, those nonprofit agencies, we do work with them, and they will often refer a case to us and say, we're being told the evidence is missing. We can't get there, and we'll take a look at it. And in many cases, we have been able to locate the evidence.
Well, thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Kendra Montgomery Blinn is the executive director of the North Carolina Innocence Inquiry Commission, and Sharon Stellato is the associate director and chief investigator.
I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.